Blog Talk Radio.
Angelique Lawrence coming to you with another edition of Truth Finders. Listen, I need you to call a friend and text a neighbor and let them know that Truth Finders is on the air. Hallelujah. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, this is where we dig into the Word of God to find our truth in Christ Jesus. So you can always follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, amen. You can listen to past episodes. You can put your comments and questions at the bottom, amen. And I want you to go grab your pen and your paper, amen, and your Bible as we get into the Word of God. And while you're doing that, amen, the last season we talked about giving. And Ecclesiastes says there's a time and place and a season for everything. So this season, amen, we're talking about building. So what we're going to do here on Truth Finders, at the beginning of every show, we're going to feature a small business or entrepreneur, amen. If you want to be part of this, please send me an email, Angelique Lawrence, that's A-N-G-E-L-I-C Lawrence, L-A-W-R-E-N-C-E at yahoo.com. Let me have information about your business, your website, or if you just have a Facebook page, amen. So today we're going to highlight Payton Processing Group Incorporated, amen. They offer services in quick deeds, powers of attorney, expungements, and now they're even offering credit repair. Let them help you rebuild your life, amen. If you want to get in contact with them, you can search for them on Facebook, amen, and it's Payton Processing Group Incorporated, amen. So let's get started with a prayer, amen. Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We glorify, magnify, and worship you in the beauty of holiness, Lord God. We know this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord God. We thank and praise you that on today we had a made-up mind that we're going to keep our minds just stayed on Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us, heals us, comforts us, teaches us, and protects us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come in and have your way. You stretch out, Holy Spirit, Lord God. We know it's not by our own might, and we know it's not by our own power, but it's by your Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. So sweep right now in the name of Jesus. You come in, Holy, you speak, Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we just thank you, hallelujah. We bless and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you all, fellow truth finders, on today, amen. Now, last time we were together, we talked about the blessings of God, amen, obtaining the blessings of God. And if you want to go back and listen to that, you can go back. It's a previous episode. And we talked about how do I obtain the blessings of God and what the blessings of God truly are. They're not riches or material, but they're peace and joy. Hallelujah. So much more, amen. So if you want to listen to that, you can go back and listen to that on the previous episodes. But on today, we're going to talk about hater aid, amen. And I chuckled when the Holy Ghost said it to me, amen. A lot of times we're in places where people are, the adversaries opposing us. And I know back in the 90s, the world called it haters, amen. And so God said, I need to give you some hater aid. I need to help you get past your adversary that you may be victorious and see the glory of God working in your life. It's not about them. It's about you. It's not about them opposing you. It's about me getting you to that expected end, amen? So we're going to start at John, St. John chapter 15, verse 18. And this is Jesus talking because it's in red, amen? And it says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted you, persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. For all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Amen. So Jesus had to tell us, if they hating on you, understand that they hated on me first. They hated me so much they killed me for doing good works. Hallelujah. And so if they kill me for doing good works, what you think they're going to do to you? Hallelujah. And you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And he has multiplied himself in the land. It's not just one Jesus. Hallelujah. It's multiple Holy Ghost-filled believers out here holding back the hand of the adversary off people's lives, giving people hope, helping, preaching the kingdom of God, which is God's way of doing things. So just imagine if they hated Jesus first, surely they're going to hate on you. One thing we have to understand is, saints, this is not our home. This is not the end for us. We're living to live again, amen? And so when you think about it, you have to understand that the world loves their own. A lot of times we say, this isn't fair. Life isn't fair. But you have to always remember, God is just. You have to say that to yourself. Life isn't fair. God never said life will be fair. But you have to know that God is just, amen? So let's look at some examples of people who were successful despite of opposition. And these are very familiar stories, amen? We're going to start off with Nehemiah. And I hope this blessed you, fellow truth finders. It blessed me as I was reading it. A lot of times we have to know that the things we go through are not new to God, and they're not new to the earth. We just got to get through it. We have to understand that other people got through it, and surely we shall also. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18 through 20. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18 through 20 says this. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, also as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat and the Horonites and Tobiah, the servant of the Ammonites, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn, despised us, and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion for right nor memorial in Jerusalem. And so when we look at Nehemiah, when the children of Israel, hallelujah, was in a place where they were in captivity, God gave him favor from the king to send him down to where Jerusalem lied in waste and gave him supplies and told him that he can rebuild Jerusalem back to its former state, amen? And so when he told those around him the things that God had put in his heart to go do despite what it looked like, they laughed him to scorn. And I want you to see yourself in this. Sometimes you can tell people what God put in your heart, amen? And a lot of times they say, that's not possible. That's not real, amen? But we know at the end of the story, Nehemiah was able to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. He was able to complete the mission that God had sent him on. Hallelujah. No matter what they said around him, he said, it doesn't yet appear what it shall be. I know what my God told me, and I don't care what you think or what you say. I'm going to get to that expected end because that's what God has for me. Amen. Let's go over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Our King David, and we know King David to this day. We're still talking about how great of a man he is. But let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to start at the 17th verse, and we're going to jump around a little bit so I can condense the story, amen? So 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting at verse 17, says this, and Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephod of the parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brothers. Let's skip over to verse 22. It says, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came to salute his brethren. Let's jump down to 26. It says, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killed the Philistines and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living God. Hallelujah. Let's jump over to 28. He said, and Eli, his eldest brother, now listen to this, y'all, heard him when he spake unto the men, and Eli's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those sheep, those few sheep, in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness and thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done? Is there a cause? He said, what? And so we see here, David went down to offer, to give his brothers food while they were in the war. But the Spirit of God rose on him like, wait a minute. His faith was strong. Why are we fighting these people? We're children of the living God. What should be done to us who defeat this man? Because I know my God, hallelujah, can defeat this giant in the land. Hallelujah. But look at his brother. Look what they say to him. Oh, why you come down here? You full of pride. You trying to see what's going on right now. Who is them sheep? You supposed to be out there watching the sheep. Who watching them few sheep you got out there? And we know this had to happen often because in verse 29, David said, what have I done now? Why are you mocking me when all I came down here to do is to help you, give you food, but I came to give you our encouragement in the Lord? Amen. And so we see here again, his brother hating on David. He didn't do anything, but he hated on him because he believes in the true and living God. And as we know the story of David, when we get to the end of the thing, not only is he going to be king, he's going to be one of the greatest kings after God's own heart. Amen. You see the pattern we have here going, fellow true finders? Amen. Let's flip over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 37. 37, 18 through 20. Genesis chapter 37, verse 18 through 20. Amen. It says, and when they saw him afar off, even before they came, and this is Joseph we're talking about, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh, and cometh now therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Amen. And so Joseph's brothers set out to kill him because he was a dreamer. Amen. Don't you see the pattern here, fellow truth finders? How many people come against you because you got a dream in your heart? How many times people have buffeted up against you because you said, I know God has better for me than this. I know that I serve a true and living God. How many people came up to you because your hope was truly in Christ Jesus, understanding his word and believing every word that had proceeded out of his mouth? When he said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein. How many times, hallelujah, has people come against you because of the dream God put in your heart? Amen. How many times, saints? But listen, what we have to realize is, I know a lot of times we say to ourselves, why does God allow this to happen to me? I'm serving the God with my whole heart. I'm doing everything God asks me to do. I'm standing upright, and I'm not perfect. But in Christ Jesus, I understand that I'm made perfect, and I obey the word of the God. I obey the word of the Lord every time he speaks in my heart and speaks in my mind. But why am I going through this? I'm glad you asked, fellow truth finders. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and it says this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, amen, testings, amen, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. God brings adversity to build you up. God brings adversities so you may have patience. God brings patience and tribulation to produce character in you. And a lot of times we don't understand it, but this is the thing you have to understand. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And a lot of times I say, why do I need chastening, Lord? I love you. But you have to remember this. All flesh is grass. All flesh is an enmity against God. So as you draw nigh unto God, The flesh is decreasing, and your spirit man is increasing. Amen. You're getting closer to God, and that's what's made in the image and likeness of God is your spirit man. But you have to crucify the flesh. So how does God crucify those old things? Because we were shaped in iniquity. Hallelujah. Born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Until we knew who God was, hallelujah, we were walking dead. We didn't know our God. So you say, why do I need chastening, Lord? Proverbs. I'm going to answer you in the scriptures. We hear this all the time. Who the Lord loves, he chastens. He chastens us that we may be, he chastens us that we may be stronger. When you are going through trials and tribulation, you pray more, you fast more, you seek the face of God more. You don't turn to man, but you turn to God for everything that's going on in your life. Amen. But one of the reasons we said, why do I need chastening? Let's look at Proverbs 3:31. And it says this, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. If God does not allow you and chasten you to work those things out of your heart that you don't know that's in your heart, what tends to happen, and we see this all the time, when God takes people up, they walk into pride, and they take on the same characteristics of the world. They take on the same characteristics of those evil people, the oppressors, amen. And so God said, I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want you to go up and then you fall. He said, if I work that stuff out of you now, if I get all that out of you now, all that hurt, all that pain, all that pride, all that jealousy, all that envy, if I work that out of you through trials and tribulations, when you go up, not only are you going to go up, but you're going to go up as pure gold. And when you go up, you're going to stay up. Amen. I know a lot of times, and I know in my life, we've seen a lot of people fall. God has raised them up, and God has used them and anointed God with on their life, and then they get to a certain place, hallelujah, in God. And then they turn their heart from God. Israel did it all the time. And so the difference between them and us is we're Holy Ghost-filled believers. So the Holy Ghost, the teacher, hallelujah, the spirit of truth comes and say, look, this is your truth. This is what you are. You're jealous in this area. Hallelujah. You're envious of others in this area. You're walking in lust. You want everything you see. And so for God to be able to work that stuff out of you and off of you, he has to let you go through trials and tribulations. He has to have people come and buffet you and strengthen you and make you smooth and come and sit there and rub you off and get that stuff off of you so you can look like him. And so you say to yourself, okay, how do I stand then? Because I know this comes from God. How do I stand against my haters? Understanding that God is working the will and the do of his good pleasure in my life. I'm glad you asked. Let's flip over to Psalms 37:1. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. When we look at fret, it's to be anger, to fear, to dread, to worry. When we look at fret, you can't allow the actions others to make you miss God. Hebrew talks about, hallelujah, strengthening the feeble knees, hallelujah, that when people are buffering them, when God sends a buffer, people become angry and bitter, and a root of bitterness grows in their heart, and now they can't hear from God anymore because they're angry about the things people said to them. They're angry about the things that God, people did to them. But they have to understand that all things are working together for the good of them that love God, who are called according to their purpose. You can't let people, hallelujah, and you're saying, well, why are you turning this around back on me? It was them that wronged me. But they couldn't have wronged you unless the Lord allowed them to. The devil couldn't get to Job, hallelujah, unless God had took his hedge of protection off of him and told him, go down there and buffer Job. He's not going to turn against me. I know him. I know his heart, amen. I know who he is. I created him. And that's what God says to you. I know you. You don't have to worry about what they're saying or doing to you. You have to know that you know that you know that you are a child of God. You have to know that you love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, strength, and everything that's in you. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, you still have to stand, hallelujah, understanding that God is going to bring you out. God is working it out in you. One thing you got to remember, Moses allowed the haters in his life to allow him to miss the promised land. He spent his whole life, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Moses lived 120 years. And the last 40 years, he served God wholeheartedly, leading a rebellious people to the promised land. He got there, and that bitterness, because of the haters in the camp, the Israelite haters that was coming against him, the Israelite haters that kept saying who he wasn't when he knew what God told him he was, knowing that he was in the presence of God when no one else was in the presence of God, he allowed them, hallelujah, to make him be disobedient to the word of God. And when he did that, he opened up the door, hallelujah, for the adversary to come in, and now he missed the promised land. The whole thing, his whole life, he worked for to see the promised land of God that they, God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He missed it, not because of his evilness, but because he allowed the evilness in the camp to get in his heart, hallelujah. He allowed, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. He allowed the buffering that God had allowed to come through, hallelujah, to him to make him miss what God had for him. You can't allow what they, people do to you, allow you to miss what God is doing in your life. Quick testimony. When I first started my job that I've been on now for almost 20 years, amen, I had such a hard time with the people on my job. They treated me so nasty. They treated me so evil. They didn't even talk to me. And then when they did talk to me, they would talk about me out loud so I could hear it. It was like being in high school. It was horrible. But God told me, don't go nowhere. You stand. I don't care what they saying. I don't care what they're doing to you. When they tried to get me fired, when they started lying on me and trying to get me written up on things, and I just, God, the Holy Ghost said, just stand. Just stand against all of this. You have to know that I am with you no matter what you go. So I stood. I sat there through all of that, through all the trials, through all the tribulations. For 5 years I sat there. And God started to show me what was inside of me, what he was working out of me in that process. And when we got through the process, God said to me, and I'll never forget this, I was standing at a file cabinet. He said, you know, that's power and forgiveness. Now that you see the end thing and you knew what I was doing, you need to go bless them. And I'm like, but Lord, look what they did to me. He said, no, tomorrow you start bringing, you bring them donuts, and you go down there and you start talking to them like nothing ever happened. And I did that. And God blessed me in that. God showed me I had to go higher than they were. God said I had to heap coals, hallelujah, on their head. I mean, I had to go in and show them the love of God no matter what they did to me. And to this day, those people on my job, they pray for me. They bring me things. When I got sick, when I had cancer, they sent me flowers. They sent me fruit. They held down my work. They asked me if I needed anything. They sent me food. Those are people who at first were haters that I thought was just my haters. But they just didn't understand the God that was in me, and I had to understand that God was working something out in me. And it was never about them. It was always about me becoming who God created me to be. And so now we see, how do I fight it? How do I fight, hallelujah, the haters? This is what the Holy Ghost said. This is your hater aid. Amen. First, you got to trust in the Lord and do good. 37. And 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Number 2, you got to delight thyself also in the Lord. Psalms 37 and 4, and we're going to walk through almost a whole chapter, amen. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Number 3, commit or roll off into thy way into the Lord, Psalms 37, 5, and 6. Amen. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Number 4. Now, we're fighting. This is our hater aid. This is the aid that God given us to fight our haters. Amen. Number 4, rest in the Lord. Psalms 37 and 7 says this. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prosper in his way, because of the man who bring wicked devices to pass. Number 5, wait on the Lord and keep his way. Psalms 37, verse 34 says this, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Amen. One thing God taught me years ago, and when I read it, it gave me so much clarity. In Psalms 92, it says, when the wicked come forth in your life, it's to buffer you and make you better, but it's to destroy them forever. And as you go back and read Psalms 37, the chapter in its entirety, you're going to see what God said. When the wicked rose up, they're no longer around. God fully destroyed them. Amen. God uses them buffering you to destroy them. What a God we serve. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? He uses my trials and tribulations to make me better. Then he turns around and he defeats my adversary completely. When we look at the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt, when they were going across the sea on dry land, and God stood the water up so they can get through. And Pharaoh told them they can leave, but then he turned around and said, they can't leave. It's pride. He said, that's okay. Y'all don't have to worry about that. Because now, soon as the children of Israel got across the sea, God destroyed their adversaries forever. They all drowned. They didn't have to look over their shoulder no more looking for the Egyptians to come after them no more. God completely destroyed them. And that's what that God's going to do in your life. That's what God's doing. Those who keep buffering you, coming against you, understand it's the will of God that it makes you better. But understand God is going to deal with them. Like we said earlier, life is not fair, but God is just. And so when we talk about what God's going to do, God is going to fix everything. God is not a God of revenge. But God is a God of vengeance, meaning I'm going to make wrongs right. I'm going to make crooked places straight. I'm going to make things okay. Hallelujah. I see everything. I see you, the heart of the person who is doing it, and I see you trying to strive to enter in. And so I'm going to use that one situation to destroy them because of their evil heart, and I'm going to use that same situation to make you grow stronger, older, wiser, and better in this, hallelujah, in this dispensation. So we talked about number 1 was trust in the Lord. Number 2 is delight thyself in the Lord. Number 3 was to commit thy way to the Lord. Number 4 was to rest in the Lord. Number 5 was to wait on the Lord. And let's look at number 6. Keep your focus on Jesus. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 and 26 says this. Let thy eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. 27 says this, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. God said, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is saying to you, stand. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Quit looking to man to save you. Quit trying to ask why. And say to yourself, I know when I get through this, I shall come out as pure gold. Hallelujah. This will help you fight and aid you against your haters. Amen. God bless you all. I thank you all for joining us here on Truth Finders. Listen, if you don't have a church home, you can always visit us on the south side of Chicago, on 79th Street in Chicago, on the south side, Heart of the Lamb Ministries. Amen. And I thank you all for joining us again. And I want you to remember this, it's the truth that makes you free. God bless you and have an awesome day.